Welcome back to the Unbox Broadcast. Today, Dr. Davis and I explore part two of our show about the seven questions every leader should ask themselves to improve how they function in their relationships. We're ready to dive in. We're excited you're here. So stick around as we help you unbox the power and the potential of your leadership.
I'm Dr. Robert Davis, family life educator and leadership coach. This is my co-host, R.P. Soriano. Soriano attended Johns Hopkins Carey Business School, worked in the financial industry, and was an international consultant before partnering with me to launch Unbox to Lead. Me? Well, I worked for over 20 years as a senior pastor and a community organizer. Then I retired and started a leader's peer support community called Unbox to Lead. Soriano and I have been friends since the early 90s, and with our varied experiences and expertise, we help leaders reach the next level in their leadership. So join us for the next few moments as we unbox the power and the potential of your relationships, your leadership, and your life.
All right, welcome back, one and all, wherever in the world you may be. I'm R.P. Soriano, and with me once again is the great Dr. Robert Davis, a family and workplace relationship expert. I want to say he's the guy who rides a horse with no name, the guy who dares. What's that song, Robert? He don't pull the mask off that old Lone Ranger. Don't tug on Superman's cape. Don't spit in the wind. You better not mess with Jim. You're that guy. You're that guy who does all of that. So I just want the audience to know. I just want the audience to know who we're dealing with. That song was written for you. So Robert is
my wife would beg to differ, but I appreciate it coming from you nonetheless.
Family and workplace relationship expert, Dr. Robert Davis. He's also the author of Seasoned with Grace, God's Recipe for Healthy Family Communication, and the 12 Steps to Becoming an Unboxed Leader. And I want to mention about that second book. That is an ebook that is available for members of the Unbox to Lead community. Am I right? That's one of the perks that you get when you become a member of the peer support community. So you can learn more when you visit our website. So how are you this week, my friend? We're at part two of our long-winded discussion from our previous show.
Well, it's long-winded, Ben, because it's so vitally important, and we love to talk. So you got two things, an important subject and two people that love to talk. And
volatile mix.
That's a volatile mix. And because it's such an important subject, I'm doing very well, and I'm excited to jump right into this.
All right, fantastic. But so let's just do a couple of housekeeping things. Please, everyone, remember to like, share, and subscribe to the broadcast. Also, follow all of our social pages. Visit our blog at www.unboxtolead.com. There you can access all of our past episodes. You can gain access to webinars that we've done. We have some great webinars that we've done, actually, that I think people will find very interesting. So visit the site, scroll through. If you've got some time, give those a listen. I think you'll find yourself very much, I want to say blessed, but I think there's another word I want to use, but why don't we just use that and just say, I think you'll be blessed when you listen to them. I also want to remind everyone to about our BIPOC Executive Director Leaders Peer Support Community Scholarship. As I've said before, our partners and our sponsors have been able to help us support 20 scholarships for BIPOC executive directors of nonprofits and community organizations. This is important work. This is an important program. And we realize how important this is for BIPOC leaders. And we're thankful to our partners who have been able to provide this. The first cohort begins Tuesday, March 28th. So be sure to visit the website, apply, get your application in. Seats are filling up fast. And we want to make sure that you get your seat. You can visit the website, www.unboxtolead.com/scholarship. And there you can, it's a quick application process. And we're in the process of reviewing the applications and sending out acceptance letters. So we still have a few spots available. If you know anybody, if you're not a BIPOC leader, you know anybody that could benefit from this, please share that information with them. And one last appeal, if you're an organization that would like to sponsor this program, and so that we can create more cohorts and offer more scholarships, please just shoot us an email at scholarship@unboxtolead.com. All right. Part two of our discussion, Robert. We got through the first, I think, two questions. We've got three left, the seven questions that every leader should ask.
Five.
We've got five left.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Five left.
Because the total is five equals seven.
Well, all my life, you know, that makes sense. Because all my life, I've been trying to take two, add two and two together and just come up with 3.5. And if I could just do that, I'd be very happy. So you understand my reasoning here.
I got you.
Anyway, why don't you give us just a little summary of where we are, and then go ahead and take us into the next question on the list.
Yeah, one of the things that we value at Unbox the Lead is helping leaders to understand how they function in relationships, so that they can develop clear strategies on how to be more effective, more authentic, to become more unboxed leaders, which will lead to creating healthy workplace cultures. And so we've given seven questions that leaders should ask themselves, which also are seven strategies that leaders should work on. So the questions will help you to develop strategies so that you can improve in the way that you function in relationships. The first question that we looked at was, who are the people that I am most reactive towards or dependent upon? And I really encourage you to go back and watch the first part if you haven't seen it yet, as we go more into detail about what that means. And the second question is, how can I be more open and transparent without defending myself? How can I make myself known without being defensive? And then we're going to start today with question number three, and that is, how can I maintain open relationships with people who are in conflict with each other? You know, when I have two people that I'm friends with, but the two of them don't like each other, man, how can I maintain open relationships with people who are in conflict with each other? And let me give you just an example of something that's going on in my life, Raphael. I have three people who I refer to as friends who are running for mayor of Denver. Now, that's not saying a whole lot, because right now we have like 186,000 people running for the mayor of Denver. I've never seen anything like this in my life. But I have three people who I personally know, who I'm friends with, who are running for mayor. And I have attempted to be supportive of all three of them. But it was important to me because of this principle right here, maintaining open relationships with two people who are in conflict. Now, they're not in conflict with each other, but they are running for the same office, and right, they do have differences in policy approaches, et cetera. And I respect that. But it was important for me to make sure that all three of them know that I'm friends of all three. It's important for me to let them know that I support all three. This is what I refer to as, you know, being open and transparent as a means of managing a relationship where two people don't get along. There's another term. It's called detriangling. When two people are in conflict, how do I step out of that triangle so that I can be more objective? How do I maintain relationships with both people that are in conflict without getting all mixed up into myself? Man, that's a rough one.
Yeah. So let me ask you that. Let's dig a little bit here, because again, part of our thing at Unbox the Lead is understanding how we learned to deal with those specific things.
Yeah.
So can you talk about that? What dynamics are available to us in our family relationships that inform how we do this in our professional lives, or even in our and by extension our personal lives as well?
Yeah. So we think about how we managed ourselves when family members were in conflict. How we are managing ourselves now with two friends who are in conflict. And then we analyze how effective that is. Mm-hmm. We really do evaluate how effective have I been. And then we think, how can I become more effective? How can I, you know, become stronger in this area? And it, so I don't, let me say this, there's not a cookie cutter answer because relationships are dynamic. That's why at Unbox the Lead, we provide two things that helps leaders in this area. Number one is the leaders peer support groups. We get a chance to talk about these type of things and leaders get to share their success stories, which really dynamic. Second thing is we have one-to-one coaching, so we can go through these things in the one-to-one coaching. So we have tools and resources to help leaders in this area so that they can be more effective. But observing, getting into a posture of observing how I currently function helps us to think about how we can develop strategies to function better.
Okay, Robert, let me tie a bow on this for a second, because I'm gonna offer myself up as a guinea pig here. Real-time application, because I always love going through these exercises, because I'll be honest with you, we do these shows. I actually put these to work almost immediately in my family relationships. I mean, it happens every time. I think this actually helps me function better in my family and thereby in my leadership. But this is important because a lot of my leadership experience is informed by the stress that I might be bringing upon my family because of my lack of skills. Mm-hmm. And I've been able to make that connection and realize that. So when you talk about this first question about who are the people I'm most reactive towards, right? I see how this, even these first three questions connect or how they're connected. So once I kind of get a handle on that, I'm able to then understand that I should be able to express who I am, express my concerns, talk about this without necessarily defending myself. Now, the way that I'm imagining this, I'm imagining a conversation with, let's just say, to keep my wife out of this, let's just say my brother, you know, my brother and I are having this conversation, but the audience is my kids. Okay, so they're watching this exchange. If they can see us be mature, I'm imagining, and they can see that we both, my brother and I both have a handle on the reactions that we have with each other. We're both able to be open. And then what I've done is, and if we're able to do that in a healthy way, I feel like what I've given my children is an opportunity to understand how to maintain open relationships when two people are in conflict with each other. They're not put in a situation where they feel like they have to take sides. Uncle Andrew is right, Dad is wrong, or Dad is right, Uncle Andrew is wrong. I'm on Uncle's side, or I'm on Dad's side, or, you know, feeling like you have to take sides. What we've been able to do is give them a sense of, okay, they're mature. I can now, I don't have to feel like I'm pressured to take sides. I can see how I can maintain a relationship with both of them, even though they're in conflict, they're handling it in a healthy way. But I know the other side of that, what you're saying is, you know, is kind of the other side of that as well. Without that training, right? I'm just thinking about how my kids would, how we're trained as in our families. And I'm seeing the other side of that, of what you're saying is, you know, you've got to be able to do this with potentially people that are not mature.
Yes. And people who are trying to pull you on their side of the other person's side. The people who have that, you know, he is not with me, is against me mentality. Today, I've been listening to the whole documents that were at President Biden's home. And, you know, predictably, this is why I don't really like the news. They give you 10 seconds of facts. There were documents found in President Biden's home, next in the garage where his Corvette is, which I thought that was really cool that he drives a Corvette. That's the story for another day. But they tell you that one little snippet, and then they bring on two people, a person who is a Donald Trump supporter, a person who is a Joe Biden supporter. And then the Joe Biden supporter talks about how Joe Biden is 100% innocent and Donald Trump is the devil. The other person talks about how Donald Trump was 100% innocent and Joe Biden is the devil. And, you know, there's no nuances there. It's just, hey, your guy's the devil, my guy's the good guy. And unfortunately, we're bombarded with that in our society. And when it comes to personal relationships, or rather, I don't know what comes first, the chicken or egg. Was it our society that brought it to us, or did we bring it to our society? I'm not sure. But anyway, it's there. And so a lot of times in personal relationships, we have a difficult time, you know, really navigating how can I be friends with both President Biden and President Trump to oppose the things or, you know, that I disagree with, to support the things that I do agree with, be able to see qualities that both of them have while also seeing deficiencies that both of them have, and being able to maintain a relationship. And so great leaders are able to do that. Mm-hmm. They're effective at being able to do that. Unfortunately, it's not modeled too much. And that's why you have to become the, when I say you, I'm talking about to our audience, you have to become the mature, unboxed leader who does that in the workplace. You know, especially, okay. Yeah. And you talked about something, last thing, because we're up against the clock already. But last thing, you talked about something earlier that I thought was really important. You said a lot of times these businesses work in silos. You know, so as an executive, as a high-level leader, you have to be able to maintain relationships with the marketing department as well as with the sales department. You're right. You have to be able to maintain, and you have to not to take sides, to be able to state your position, your thoughts, your disagreements, and all of those things, where you agree with the other person or whatever it may be, to be open and transparent in those relationships. That's vitally important. And so how can I maintain open relationships? And there's no cookie cutter. Every situation is different. Relationships have to be managed based on who we are and based on who we're interacting with. So how can I maintain open relationships with people who are in conflict with one another was question number three. You ready for me to go to question number four?
I'm ready.
Okay, question number four. How can I accept the way that people are without reacting and gossiping about them?
Robert, what's the source? We've talked about this in a previous episode. I'm sorry to interject because you probably were going to say this, but what is kind of the source? What drives this need to gossip or talk about people? Because there's something deeper with that. It isn't just wanting to just be mean. There's something to that, right?
Yeah, and I want you to I encourage everyone to go back when we talked about the survival, mm-hmm. and how one key aspect of survival and humanity, you know, has been trying to survive, you know, since we you know, were placed on this planet, we've been trying to survive. And one key element of survival, especially when you're dealing with wild animals, the cold and everything, is that, you know, we need to herd together. That togetherness for us. And so, you know, oftentimes when people are different than us, we view them as a threat, but they're not really a threat. People can be different without being a threat because, you know, think about it. Whatever the person is that's different, unless they are an axe murderer, it's not a direct life or death situation. So I can take time to try to get to understand the person without, you know, like I say, if it's an axe murderer, if it's, you know, if it's, what's his name from Nightmare on Elm Street?
Freddy Krueger.
If it's Freddy Krueger, yeah, you probably don't want to sit down and have a conversation while he's hacking you up to pieces. But you want to make sure that, because we're not in that situation, especially within our workplaces, 99.99999% of the time, that you can, you know, get to know people and really understand them without becoming reactive and shutting down. And you're different, so I don't want to have any, you know, I don't want to know anything about you, have anything to do with you. That narrow-mindedness.
All right. Okay, so how can I accept the way people are without reacting and gossiping about them? Right. Okay.
Yes.
Okay,
that's about my own personal self-growth. Mm-hmm. It's about me. It's about me growing as a person.
I found that this is a tactic that I've used in the past to try to clearly build allies, weaken that other person, so that I can, you know, strengthen my position. And so it's a tactic that is a way to try to gain power, or to just a very immature way of dealing with something that happened that you didn't like.
Yeah. You know, you said something before we came on. I don't have to be faster than the lion. I just have to be faster than you.
Yeah.
And again, that's that survival mentality that we bring into the workplace as if we're in a life or death struggle. You know, well, actually, you're not running from a lion. So it's not where the other person has to be put down. It is not where the other person has to be thrown to the wolves so that I can survive. That's not the world. That's not realistic. We make it that way. We put it in our mind, but that's not really what it's like. And if we can, you know, say to ourselves, I'm not in a life or death situation. So how can I become more curious? How can I accept this person again without gossiping or talking about them? Very important.
All right. Okay. Next question.
Plowing, in the words of the comedian Bill Burr, plowing along, plowing ahead. Number five, how can I make decisions that are not based on emotional, feeling-based reactions to people and events in my social system? You know, this again, and you can kind of see that each one of these questions are building on the previous ones.
Yeah.
You know, too often we become very reactive, and we talked about becoming reactive. And so then our decisions, and a great leader has to be calm and collected when they make decisions, so they're making the right decisions. Too often people make decisions based on emotions. And so how can I get to a thoughtful place? And I know this is your wheelhouse. How do I get to a thoughtful place so that I'm making decisions based on facts, based on what's best, based on our strategic plan, based on what's going to be most effective toward reaching our vision, not based on feelings and being reactive, being emotional?
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna confess something that I do that is probably going to sound completely insane. When I think about this, how can I make decisions that are not based on emotion? That's not always framed in a negative way. Sometimes something happens, like I get an email that's very exciting.
Yes.
And I might be excited and want to hurry up and respond to the email and probably and end up thinking that I read something that actually wasn't there. Yes. But I've gotten into the practice. It's been a New Year's resolution of mine to write more with my hand, to just write. Write in a notebook, write in a journal. So what I've done is when I get an email, and to be less digital, I think I've shared this with you. So when I get an email now, I check my emails and I write out my response on paper. A couple of things that does, because I end up editing in anyway. When I'm typing, I edit a lot. So it takes me a long time to compose just a simple email anyway. But this helps me to pull back. A lot of times my emails become far shorter, far more brief when I'm writing with hand. I seem to be able to get to the point a lot faster. And things just flow better. But I also get a chance to step back and really think about what I'm writing, word for word, really processing what it is about the email. Go back, reread it again, write this stuff out. And then I go and start composing the email based on the draft that I've written down. Now, I know that may sound painfully slow. Somebody say, why would you be doing? My point is I'm going to do that anyway when I'm composing the email and typing it. But this does help me to sit back and make a decision that is not based fully on emotion. I can really sit back and process what has actually happened and think about and really make sure I say, oh, okay, now I get what they were saying. Yeah. You know, now I understand what they were saying. Or I think my response should be, you know, a little more muted or measured. You know, maybe I use this word instead of that word. You know what I mean? I think that process helps me to slow down. And I think that there are little tactics like that that we all can use to help us to kind of step back and slow down. And to, it's okay to have the emotion, the initial emotion, but that can't be the thing that drives us in our actions toward people. I can get pissed off. Sorry, I can get really upset instantly about something, but you know, you need that time to kind of calm down before you respond.
Yeah. And what you're getting at is we want to be aware of our emotions, not controlled by our emotions.
Right.
Because emotions serve a very important role in our life. You know, I'm not calling people to be stoic. But yeah, when anger, fear, all these different emotions, even the positive ones of happiness, contentment, satisfaction, these things, they are signals about what's going on in the world around us.
Mm-hmm.
They alert us, but we can't be controlled by that.
Right, right, right.
We can't be controlled by that. You know, living in the society that we live in now, this is not the 1950s marketing agency, you know, because an attractive lady smiles and says good morning to you. You know, you can't be. So, of course, if you're a single man, an attractive lady says good morning, a woman who you think is attractive, she says good morning to you with a nice smile. You know, your heart starts fluttering. You're starting to already think, I wonder if she likes me. Is there a chance? But, you know, you can't be controlled by that emotion. So now you run over to her. Hey, I'm wondering if we can grab some drinks after work. And, you know, no, you can't be controlled. But that feeling of I'm happy. I feel excited that she spoke to me. I didn't know that she knew I was alive. That informs us about how we feel when we're around this person.
And she probably still doesn't even. She probably still doesn't even know you're alive. She just happens to just say hi.
Yeah, yeah. Slow down, Sparky. Slow down. And like you just said, take a breath. But it's good to know emotions. Again, we need to be aware of our emotions because they inform us, but not controlled by our emotions.
Right.
So pump the brakes. Take a deep breath. Think about getting to a thinking space. However that looks. Get into a thinking space before you just respond or react. And I wanted to use a positive emotion because, I've been using some negative emotions.
Yeah, and those just seem to be. I mean, I think we all kind of can relate to the negative piece, but a lot of times we're just not aware that even our positive emotions, it's not necessarily okay to just make decisions based on feeling good.
Yeah, and I'm smiling because I'm thinking about back in high school, man, where you're sitting in the cafeteria and a girl who you have a crush on walks in. And it inevitably, she's always making eye contact with you. But then you realize she's not. She's just literally happened to be looking in your direction. But your mind, man, because you're so gaga over her, your mind is just like, man, she is looking at me until she waves at her friend. And I love it in those movies because that's the story of my life.
Yeah.
She waves at her friend. And you realize she didn't even know that you were alive.
It's so defeating, so deflating to have someone just look right through you. They didn't even, Robert, they don't even look around. You know what I mean? Like, they don't even acknowledge that there is a barrier, a human being in front. They don't even look around. They just wave to the other person as if you are just a transparent or just a piece of glass.
The invisible man.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, boy. So defeating, man. You know, don't take me back to those days, man.
We had to go back one second.
It's so deflating and defeating to be completely missed that.
Number six. So we don't want to be controlled by emotions. We want to be aware, but not controlled by. Number six. How can I become more comfortable talking to people about the role that they seem to be playing in the social system?
Boy, that's the red wire, green wire question right there, man. Yeah. I mean, you snip the wrong wire and it all blows up. That's a big one.
This is where the rubber meets the road. This is leadership on the graduate level, man. I'm being honest, you know. This is where you sit down and you say, this is what I observe going on in the dynamics of this workplace. This is where I see the role that I'm playing. This is what I see that you're doing. Man, those are hard conversations, especially when it's someone who is a valuable part of the team, someone who you know. Sometimes it's easy to get ourselves worked up and just to tell somebody off. All right, that's the last straw. Get in here. I want to talk to you. But to be able to
there's a rationale behind that, right? Projecting a sense of power so that you don't get the pushback and the feedback that you're inevitably worried about getting. You can just bark the person down, then they'll just maybe tuck their tail between their legs, and you know, you just say the conversation was had, and that's the end of it.
Yeah. But being able to have those type of conversations with people, so how what do I need to do? So again, first I need to observe where I currently am at, and then I need to think about where I want to be, and then what steps and strategies do I put in place to get there? So how do I become more comfortable talking to people about the roles they seem to be playing in the social system? And I'm going to go ahead and close this out with number 7, which is, when people are upset with me, how can I relate to all the different factions in my group without taking sides with any one individual or any one faction? And this kind of ties into what we talked about previously. Number 3, how can I maintain open relationships with people who are in conflict with each other? You know, that's where it starts. When I learn how to be in relationship with people who are in conflict with each other, then I can get to a place where even people are upset with me, because you're going to experience that when two people don't like each other. Oh, there you go, taking his side again. If I can get comfortable with that, then man, I can get comfortable. And that's what I said. These questions are progressive. Then I can get to a place where different factions are having issues, but I can remain outside of it. So if think about it, if I can have a relationship with sales and marketing, the leader of sales, the director of sales and the director of marketing, if I can have relationships with them, then I can manage myself better with the sales department and the marketing department. You see where I'm coming from now when it gets larger? And we're just using a broad example here.
Yeah,
but once I get to that place, it becomes progressive. So that's what the leader needs to think about. How can I relate to all the different factions in the group when they're upset with me? So going from them being upset with each other, I've gotten that now. That now prepares me to being able to deal when they're all upset with me. When they're upset with me. How can I relate to the different factions without taking sides with any one individual or any one faction, without becoming defensive or dismissive, combative or hostile? You know, how can I remain calm, authentic leader in that environment? And again, as you go through these questions, you're going to start to see pictures of your family popping up in your mind, because I've discovered that my emotional computer was refurbished, and whoever refurbished that emotional computer, man, they were drunk as a skunk the day that my
Robert, I imagine. Yeah, exactly. I imagine that is exactly, that's a great analogy. I imagine when someone brings me into the computer shop and they open it up and they go, what in the who worked on this? What did none of these wires go here, man. I don't know what, know where to begin. Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like. So what were you going to say? I'm sorry, I cut you off.
I was going to say, the better we can understand that, the stronger we will be as leaders. And the more that we are intentional about asking these type of questions about how we are relating, the better we can be at developing strategies to relate. And this is what Unbox is about. It's about getting to the heart of the matter so that you can become a stronger, calmer, more authentic leader.
Yeah, and I was going to say that this is hard work. This is hard work. We've laid out these questions here. It's a great start for anybody who's watching this broadcast to kind of start. But there's more work to be done in the sense of being able to kind of be a little more guidance on how to answer these questions. This is why we have the Leaders Peer Support Community. This is why we have a coaching mechanism that is a part of the Leaders Peer Support Community. So when you become a part of that community, you get this kind of coaching. You get the type of education and learning that is built into the entire service, because like I said, yes, this is very hard. This is very hard work, but you are not alone, and we're with you all the way. The community is with you all the way. The leaders peer support community is with you all the way, and the coaching that you would have access to as a member of that community. So, you know, we just want to encourage everybody that, don't feel like listening to these broadcasts or dealing with these questions that you feel like, wow, you've hit me with something here. It's great, but I don't know what the next step is. You know, we bring these questions out because this is exactly what we do, and we're able to help you to accomplish that.
Well, man,
any last thoughts?
Now you hit the nail right on the head. And here's the good news. Last thought. The good news is, if you are a BIPOC executive director, then you can join this community if you go to our site and apply for the scholarship. We want to make sure that the helpers are getting the help that they need.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of our show today. Thank you once again, Dr. Davis, for your insight, your expertise, and for all the practical application that I can actually apply to my family. My wife, my kids, they all say thank you. So appreciate it. The Unboxed broadcast is produced by Bobby Davis Jr., graphics and video design provided by Damon Mace, and marketing and promotion by John Sedano. Remember to visit our website at www.unboxedtolead.com. Also, find out more about our BIPOC Leaders Peer Support Community Scholarship, www.unboxedtolead.com/scholarship. For Dr. Robert Davis, I'm R.P. Soriano. We look forward to seeing you at the next broadcast of Unboxed as we help you unbox the power and the potential of your leadership. Be well.
Unboxed provides a full-service leaders peer support community that helps high-level leaders become more authentic leaders who build healthy workplace cultures and reach their personal life goals. To learn more and discover how we can take your leadership and your life to the next level, please visit our website at unboxedtolead.com. That's unboxed, the number 2, lead.com. Again, that's unboxed, the number 2, to lead.com.